from Studio 511. This is the 258th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Carlos Carrera.
You can't even get the name right.
That's a fail already. This is George Springer.
And I'm Tony Garea?
Tigeria.
Tony Schiavone.
Mike today.
All right. Abel Arnold Chris. There you go. We have game seven up on the TV over there. So if you see us looking slightly to our right, we are distracted. And it's either going to make everybody happy or everybody not happy. But if you are joining us, thank you so much. We very much appreciate it.
You must really not like baseball if you're watching us live right now.
Or they really, really like wrestling.
Yeah.
Or maybe they really like DVR.
Now you're full of shit.
The DVR in the games are
you doing? There you go. So I'm pulling you up right here on the old smartphone. So if you're joining us live, thank you. Chime in through the live chat. You could talk shit, ask us questions, call us out on our bullshit, fact check us, whatever. If you put it here in the live chat, I'll see it, and I'll try to involve you the best way I can. If you're not watching us live, hey, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio, or you could just leave a comment right here in the YouTube comment section. We do see that from time to time. Make sure you give us a subscribe and a thumbs up as well.
Juan23 does that almost every week.
Yes. I love that guy. Good job, Juan23.
One day he'll learn how to count, but that's okay.
One of those tricks.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. Right.
So.
NXT.
Next.
Here's Velveteen.
Say my name.
Probably my favorite segment of the week.
Yeah.
From the beginning, it was love at first odd between Aleister Black and Velveteen. So as soon as I felt a little bit overproduced, but that being said, I fucking loved it because it goes with the theme of Aleister Black being a few fries short of a Happy Meal. But people like that kind of thing because they're looking over their figure.
I don't know if I say he's a few fries short of a Happy Meal. That would say that he's not smart.
He's smart.
I think he's very smart. I think he's incredibly intelligent. I don't think he's a few fries short of a Happy Meal.
What did you think of this segment?
I liked it. It was fun. They're building up more of this tension between Aleister and Velveteen, and it works. Usually, for me, it takes a little bit more time to get involved in the story, but this, boom, 3 weeks, I'm in. The last time I was in this quick on something was fucking...
The first date of Randy.
Dingy somewhere in there. No, I was going to say... Adam Rose.
Oh!
The first night. I was in.
Oh, when they modified that song, the original song where he stopped and went, woo!
Yeah, and then he changed it to, hey, and I was like, aw. But, yeah, I'm in. I'm in like Flynn.
Yeah. What about you, man? You're probably one of the biggest Black proponents of this entire group.
Yeah, I was for Black, too. What's it called?
Abel's really rubbing up on you, eh?
Hey, you're the one that pretended to be Yuli.
I was watching it, and I was like,
wait, what?
Who?
3-0!
3-0! Yes!
That means that's what Colors drove in a run.
Woo!
That's my boy.
Black. MLB app.
Okay.
So, Aleister.
Sorry if we're distracted.
Yeah. I'm not sorry.
people can tell I'm distracted just by the title of the podcast, because I baited and switched these
motherfuckers. What did you say?
I called it best series ever, assuming we're talking about Survivor Series. We don't give a flying fuck right now about Survivor Series. No. We care about the Astros.
Okay.
Regardless.
Was any better than mine. Let's play time to play the game seven.
Yeah.
That's not any better.
Aleister Black's music hit. I was like, oh, hell yeah, here we go. Then I was like, fuck yeah, I'll just get in the group of things. Like, hell yeah, man, I can't wait to see Aleister Black live. I was seeing that in my head.
He's even nodding his head when he talks about Aleister Black.
Yeah,
he's
like, I was like, hell yeah, I love it. And then, boom! Oh, God, that was perfect. It was good. Everything about it was good. And then he had him on the ropes. He had him vulnerable. We see him vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But then we see him just like that. Like, I love it. I love it. It's better. My first comparison was Goldust Undertaker in the 90s.
Okay.
This is better than that already.
Yeah. And I like this for two reasons. We're seeing humanity in these characters that in WWE traditionally aren't human. They're caricatures.
Yes.
This weird kind of satanic demon guy, and oh, this guy who might be gay, but we don't know. He's just bizarre. And it's like, all right, yeah, okay, yeah. You're going to put those together, fine. But with this, there's a little bit more humanity to him because, yeah, it's Velveteen Dream. We're not supposed to know he's Patrick Clark, but it's like he's saying, I want you to acknowledge mm-hmm. me. And that little bit of acknowledgement when he was already walking away and Alistair just kind of looked, it was like, oh, okay. And Alistair's like, I'm being this guy, I'm being this persona because it's my defense mechanism as a real human being. And mm-hmm. it's like, all right, it's a little bit more realistic, yes. you know? So it makes sense, and that's yes. why I really like it.
The part that intrigues me the most is just looking at their characters, it's kind of like they're the same person on the opposite side of the coin. Because they're exactly themselves.
Okay, yeah.
It's like they're the yin and the yang, but they refuse to admit it. So they're going to keep being against each other instead of embracing what makes them both different, which actually is what makes them similar.
Ah.
And that clash between the two styles of personality and being.
That was cool.
Takeover is going to be good.
I hope that match.
Don't even get me started on Booker.
It's good. Hard to say. I hope that match steals the show because I hope a lot of the most matches are like before, but yeah. I'm really anticipating.
Especially that now more than last week. Why?
Because I won't be there.
Woo! Yeah. Tell them how.
Thanks. It's Sports Radio 610. And our manager being late to load us up for our delivery.
Yeah, that's
we're on our way to go deliver a dinette. It took forever to get up, build the chairs. We turn on the truck, we hear Aleister Black's song. We're like, hey,
home run?
Short springer?
Yeah! Too sweet that shit! Woo!
Swinger dinger, baby. Did I say swinger dinger?
Yeah.
Springer
dinger. Yeah,
get it. Este güey.
That's like his fourth home run.
5-0.
Yes.
That's a sport in the World Series, dude.
It's still the second inning?
Keep your foot on the
holy
goddamn
son
throat.
Of a bitch.
Yeah, beat them to death. Ain't nobody getting along tonight in L.A.
Especially with our bullpen. You just have to make it like 20-0, then you can kind of feel comfortable with the
Maybe.
You just saw what the first inning happened.
If it's like 25-0, then okay, go ahead and put in Giles.
Yeah. Whoa. Don't ever put in Giles.
Which was the better match on NXT? Was it Almas against Strong or the women's battle royal for the final slot on the match?
For just straight fun and entertainment sake, I'd say the women's battle royal. I liked it.
Yeah.
It made me happy. It was just fun. Hey, it's Dakota Kai, and I wanted everybody to win.
Yes.
Like everybody was in there. I was like, Oh, she got eliminated. Mm-hmm. Oh, that means they could win or that could win. Oh, mm-hmm. Butt cape. Oh, hell yeah. And, they got eliminated one by one, but I wasn't like, fuck. I was like, okay, well, I'm still invested in the match because, hell yeah, somebody else is in it. So I was happy throughout the entire match.
What about you, Arnold? Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree only because usually I take battle royals out of, considerations and that type of stuff. That's
fair.
Out of the two, it was the most fun to watch. But as far as in-ring, match, man, that the Synonymous match was a lot better. Every single time I pay attention to his matches, they get better.
Yeah.
He's adapting to the style more.
I agree.
He's not a luchador anymore. He's a wrestler. So he's
an entertainer now.
And, oh, man, that Hurricanrana.
Yes.
Flying Head Scissors. Flying Head Scissors?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Selena Gomez or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Gomez.
Oh, man. Maxine.
You're just thinking about her right now because she's single, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maxine or something. Or
you know what the bad part is, though? Once you go black.
No.
It's probably going to be the Lincoln Tunnel now. We'll just walk into it and just like.
But no.
You're a terrible person, Chris.
Shit.
I said a lot about the people around
me. Yeah, no, that match was good. That match was solid as fuck.
That's a match we candidate for me.
Yeah, definitely.
That's fair.
Slowly but surely, my biggest complaint about Almas was I like what I see in the ring. I don't like what I see when he's on the mic trying to sell himself for me to anticipate the match.
Which is why.
The chick is really enhancing it, and I think actually her interference, physically, not so much like Sensational Sherry just, literally head scissoring his opponent. You know, we had this discussion about how much we like Lucha Underground because everybody's equal.
Yes.
The women wrestle the men, the midgets wrestle the gays, the dead wrestle the dragons, and everyone's in the same playing field. This is the first time that it drove home that NXT...
That's not hyperbole.
Exactly, that's why I said it that way. This is the first time that I actually bought the team of Almas and Tits McGee down there.
Dude, I can hardly agree with you because they built it up throughout the episode. Mm-hmm. The little, I hate the little, whatever interviews, whatever thing with Drew McIntyre. And he was, and then she came in, you know, you can't put us in sixth grade. You know, she was fucking Latina out and shit. And, so whatever they did their little building, said, you know, he can tell me, you know, in my face and stuff like that. The match goes on. Roderick Strong, you know, Roderick Strong is good, man, but it's like I'm still trying to get that Abel stink off. Okay. Abel, before I ever saw him wrestle, just told me that he's just a generic ROH guy.
The longer you hang around him, the harder it gets.
So no, yeah, I'm trying to get the stench that I have on him off of him, because I like what I see. I love his theme song. I like it. But just to me, I still see that he's generic.
Right now, I have the problem with Strong that I used to have with Almas. As in, I've seen him wrestle great matches with top-tier talent, but on the microphone, he couldn't persuade me to watch paint dry, let alone watch him wrestle. So now he's got the stink that Almas had.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion.
My whole Almas stink was that just from the get-go, because I didn't watch anything from him being La Sombra. Wow. You know, just from him in the get-go of NXT, I was like, and like it's just taking him slowly, just in the last, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 matches. I'm like, that's the best match I ever seen Stan in. Oh no, the next week, that's the best match I ever seen Stan in. That's the best match I ever seen.
First, it started with, oh my god, this is the first match I've seen Stan in that I like.
Yes,
and because that's where you were. Yes. I remember it specifically. Yeah. I remember this flashback with Travis that you saw Almas as like, okay, they built up Almas as this luchador with the mask on and everything, and speaking about his past history, and then he shows up looking like a pimp.
Was that a match against Ty you're talking about?
Yes,
That's the first match that stood out to me. I was like, whoa. And then his match with Aleister Black, that was badass. Yeah. Then his match with Gargano, both of his matches
with
Gargano.
He had a good match with the big Brazilian guy.
Bonani.
Yeah, he had a match with him too.
So this guy, you see something there. I'm starting to think, because I was like, okay, You can clearly see it's going to be McIntyre versus Shane Almas for the NXT title. On paper, at first, before this last episode, you're just like, put that shit in the middle of the card or something like that. But now I'm like, okay, put that before the Fall Brawl.
Hey, your guys' Spanish is better than mine.
See,
what is El Ídolo?
The Idol.
Oh, okay.
And they say La Sombra.
Yeah, okay, I didn't know that.
Back to the women real quick.
Okay.
I want to be optimistic in WWE, the company, that they're doing a very slow burn with Belair.
Oh, thank God.
And they're not just going to have her here because they need more women to fill the roster just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
Because it's looking past the gimmick of her with the hair, which is obviously like the best Mortal Kombat character cosplay I've ever seen. Awesome. She knows how to get people to get pissed off at her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like not just rest like the person against her in the ring, but the audience. She knows exactly how to time when the people that will be pissed off at her. And I'm hoping that they keep her around. At least so she can be like the next step of the cornerstone of the women's division there. Because once by the time WrestleMania is over this year, two or three of those girls are going to be gone.
I
think out of all the women from the Mayhem Classic, she's the best of the ones that I didn't expect to see anything out of.
It feels like she skipped the green period.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It feels like she skipped the feeling out process and just like, hey, I'm an NXT superstar.
That's
just what it feels like. Now they just got to work with that.
Yeah.
Because they have to build some storylines that have a plethora of women now to work with, obviously. Mm-hmm. And these three releases that happened with Emma and Summer Rae, that's Daria. Opening up. And so,
well, Daria is an NXT women's
that's
unless they let him wrestle with the women.
that's opening up spots for people to graduate to them, but for some of the class, main classic girls to.
I would definitely see the iconic duo moving up as a group.
Dodgers are on first, and so pop up into
maybe a face,
field.
Okay. And maybe a face. So that would mean the next crop of people. And now, and I would see like the first person, the first or second person on that next crop to take the step up would be Bianca Belair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally in love with her. I fucking love that gimmick with the hair.
Yeah,
she's really good at, like you're saying, pissing people off. Like you said, she skipped the green period, and she feels like she already knows what the hell she's doing. She fits in that division. So, yeah, I'm sold on her.
Is that it for NXT? More or less? Or so?
Who wound up winning that damn women's battle royale?
Nikki Cross.
That's right.
Yeah, Nikki Cross. And the four girls came out. And I know I'm not tripping. They need to change Kairi Sane's song. Because that song that she uses, I've heard it in like a Hall of Fame like wrap-up kind of like. I know. Somebody fact check me. I know I've heard her fucking song in like some kind of WWE Network special or DVD little fucking you know compilation thing. That song,
dude,
I know I fucking
that's
heard.
Not going to be the first time, and it's not going to be the last time WWE reuses.
No, I know. I watched this WrestleMania guy who does that, like superstars who share music and like that. But that one specifically, still, like, I was like,
dude,
man,
I remember,
that's like a DVD menu screen.
Yes.
Song. Yeah.
I remember hearing the Hardy's entrance music on random shows on like fucking Spike. Say, Hardcore Holly.
After a pay-per-view, that song that In Demand would air on their commercial, like that freeze frame that before the next replay of the pay-per-view was the Hardy song. I was like, wait a minute.
Because that was public domain shit.
Yeah,
that they just like, all right, yoink, public domain, let's just use it, you know? But yeah, okay, I think
that's
the
it.
End of
that's
NXT.
It.
Right.
Raw.
Oh, that was a good one. I when it was over, I was like, Abel jokingly said before it started, or before we left work, because our boss every Monday morning, hey, you think wrestling's going to be good?
He asks us that
every
Monday.
And we're always like, I'm always like, yeah, maybe. And Abel's always like, yeah, maybe, I don't know.
That Abel's thing.
Yeah.
You're rising above.
Yeah. So I was like, whatever. And I had a bunch of shit going on. So I watched Raw Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday morning. And by the time it was over, I was like, this is a badass Raw. Like it was a solid ass Raw. Like, we had returns. We had every like 30 minutes or something that was like, whoa, hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on? Or haha, like something interesting. And like from pretty much from beginning to end, it was cool. It started off with, like, to me, on like when Stephanie came back. I was like, oh, okay, I see that everything, you know, the angle and the wrestlers and all that. As soon as I heard her song, I was like,
Sundays. I never get demoted.
Dude, all I can think of is Mick Foley.
She's back to the status quo,
castrating
dudes,
castrating
their mark
out of them.
He's like, oh yeah, I got a big set of balls. They're Mick Foley's. They're in my pocket.
Bitch. I'm wrong, but man,
Kurt Angle captaining SmackDown, captaining Raw. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I want to see it. I want to see that. The his entrance and all that stuff. And
yeah, and
they could protect him in that match.
If he's exactly. I would say if he's the captain, then it's not like one on one him versus somebody where he could be exposed for losing a step. But in a Survivor Series match, what the fuck? Why not? Everyone else could like do the heavy lifting and have him do an Olympic slam, ankle lock, boom.
Shit, Bret Hart got eliminated by disqualification. So he didn't even need to take a big bump for him to get taken out at the 7-on-7 during SummerSlam a few years ago. So there's a way to save him.
Yeah.
So far, it's only Kurt Angle and...
So far, that team's already better than what I think SmackDown has. So
we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Man.
Nobody is ready for Strowman.
No. Just Kurt Angle...
Strowman against Nakamura.
Let's talk about how we don't have to necessarily go in order because I want to talk about how fun the end of Raw was.
Go for it.
It was so
it
was so over the top and stupid that it was good. Like it was like, come on, like the camera angles,
this episode felt extremely overproduced.
Yeah,
like they're doing cliffhangers. To the next segment.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger for the end of the show is one thing, but if you're doing cliffhanger to your fucking segment at some point,
you know why? It was all the camp that they were doing just for the sake of having Halloween-y camp. Like
maybe
that's what it was.
It felt very Lucha Underground-ish. The whole like vibe to it, the whole like really like
Well,
committing to like all the stuff, like just the nuances that were going on, the dumbass shit that was going on, like the Daniel Bryan, oh, the lights went off. I have a flashlight on my fucking phone. That's all you gotta fucking do, hold it up.
Yeah.
You got light in the room. Yeah. So it's, and he's on the phone. So yeah, like it was dumb, but the Strowman stuff was fucking great. You were led to believe that it was just the exact same dump truck from
DLC. Which it was totally different color. Yeah. Wasn't even the same color.
Yeah, yeah. So he like supposedly comes out of the dump truck. Where's he been for a week and a half or 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Come on. So like it was just silly, but it's badass.
Yeah.
And he just like kicked the shit out of, was it Curtis?
Or my first thought, no, it was Bo.
Bo, he just kicked the shit out of Bo.
My first thought was Super Shredder. When he came out of that trash can.
Toidles.
I didn't love it quite as much as you did, but because I think it was overproduced, it was way too much campiness for me. But I understand why, because it was the night before Halloween, so you got it. You got to pretend like you're that B horror movie sometimes, you know?
And you know what you
like,
gotta do? You gotta love it.
So does this make Braun officially a face?
Unofficially.
Yeah.
It officially makes him a Stone Cold style face.
Yeah, of course. You know what they're saying. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine with me. I love the whole Kane telling Miz, you're on your own. And then the bar would be like, you're on your own. So
Samoa Joe time.
Astros are out of the bottom of the third.
Oh, don't play?
Yep, don't play. There's a runner at third and second.
It's gonna be like this all night, folks.
Yes, sorry.
What are you talking about? None of my app.
Well, I just saw
5-4. Did I see that right? We're winning 5-4.
No,
0. Oh, 0. Okay, even better.
You know. Keep going.
No, you don't have to let us know. You should see on the screen. So, Joe's back.
Okay.
Yeah. As soon as he came.
That's like
that was a double play, by the way.
Yeah. I wasn't lying to you.
Yeah, my app just.
Between me and Chris, who do you think is gonna lie to you?
Everyone likes As soon as his music hit, I was
You're
like,
honest about lying.
As soon as
fucking idiot.
As soon as his music hit, I was like, oh, I forgot about Joe. Hell
yeah. I forgot about Joe.
Yeah, I was like, that made me feel so good. It's like, how would I compare it to? Without sounding like a pervert here.
No, sound like a pervert, please.
Do you remember what show you're on?
It's like remembering like that one mag you have under your bed. You're like, oh, I got the classic. Hey, get away. I got this. I'll be back. I'm going to the restroom.
It's like when you put on a pair of jeans and there's a $20 bill in the pocket.
That's a better analogy.
That's a better one. Unless you're real. Oh, man, I forgot about that 20. Yeah, there you go. All right. He's over here talking about fucking porno magazines. Yes,
I found the Sable edition of Playboy.
You mean the China edition?
Yeah, he came back. I was like, oh, fuck yeah. And he like, and everyone was like, Joe, that crowd, that pop was huge. And everyone was there. And he was like, yeah, fuck yeah. He could tell. You guys miss me? Yeah.
Fuck you.
I've been cheering before.
Oh my god.
Yay. I was like, I am an idiot. Yay! Fuck me! Yay!
I'm an idiot. I'm straight up.
Yep.
Oh, because he had a hook, line, and sinker. He just got him. You gotta love it.
You gotta love
And then, of course, you know, just the epic.
Is that another Booker T line? You gotta love it.
Yeah, man, the epic. After that, we set up the most epic feud that's gonna come out of this whole half year. Fucking Titus Brand versus Samoa Joe. God, I can't wait for these matches.
Yeah, that's a little one.
So Apollo Crews comes out and Joe kills him. But during the match, or right as it started, Michael Cole said, oh, Apollo Crews requested this match. So kayfabe, why do you want me to believe that Apollo Crews
knew that Joe was coming back?
And he said, and he requested it because SmackDown whooped his ass first. It don't make no sense.
It doesn't make dollars.
It doesn't make sense.
And it didn't make either.
They didn't make nothing.
Yeah. Dude, I want Apollo and the Titus brand and all that to get a better push than what they've been getting. Because I think there's something there, especially with Titus, man. Titus has got some charisma that they're just not allowing him to just take a ball and fucking run with it.
Yeah.
You know? But against Joe at this point in time, I'm like, I don't know.
This was just a match I would think for Joe to get the rust off before Kurt Angle,
yeah.
His boy from the Main Event Mafia, said, oh, you wouldn't know about that. Samoa Joe from the Main Event Mafia be like, hey, man, I need some muscle.
Yeah.
I need some fat. I need some marble on my team.
Five? The pay five? Oh, man.
Booker references left and right. I'm not even trying to.
Look at you.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, so putting him in the fucking in the Survivor Series match, you just no contest.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I'm just happy Joe's back.
Yay, Joe. Yeah.
How about Alicia Fox as captain?
Okay. I think that's kind of cool, but at the same time, who gives a fuck who the captain is?
Like apparently she does, she got a fucking outfit.
Yes. Yeah, that, he true. Answered your question perfectly.
Okay.
They gave her the perfect thing to fuck with.
Okay.
Because
okay.
It gets her. She's I'm bossy. And so she's like, she's going to fucking work
but,
it.
But she's still Kairi Sane's fucking shit.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's fine. But
okay. Kairi Sane's a pirate.
Yeah.
She steals other captains' yes. Shit.
Oh,
if anything, look at Kairi Sane's going to steal me. Her.
I am the captain now.
So.
Fuck your Booker T reference.
Her being
top hat reference.
Yeah. Her being like, oh my God, like. So like just crazy about it, you know, and it's not, but it's not like
crazy too, like a fox.
Crazy like a fox. It's not too crazy. There's methods to her madness because she saw Nia.
Crazy like a fox.
Nia comes back and she ain't like most girls. She came back, squashed Bayley because nobody cares about Bayley anymore.
My only complaint about that is why the fuck couldn't they give her that kind of push at NXT?
That monster push.
Nia Jax should have been the first one to sincerely flatten Bayley like an IHOP yeah. Flapjack.
Man,
and it took her, and it took 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she annihilated Bayley. I don't know what the hell's going on with Bayley, but
whatever.
Yeah. So Nia's in, and Nia is in, as part of the women's team.
Yeah.
So all right, that's fine.
Yeah.
And it gives like a couple more weeks of Alicia Fox being this kind of way.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that
goes. I mean, yay for Nia being back.
Sure.
Finn against Cesaro.
Yes.
Elaborate. This is a podcast with a microphone.
Finn and Cesaro, they're definitely like, as far as match quality goes, you know that there can be like fucking classics between them. The unfortunate thing is this is WWE, and sometimes they'll just like beat a dead horse and then water it down that dead horse before they beat it. So as excited as I want to be for it, I'm like, hold on a minute. And I think another reason why I'm kind of like, oh, hold on a minute, and I was going to bring this up when we talked about SmackDown, but I'll talk about it now. I think there's a bit of a problem with how you're going to do all your booking leading up to SmackDown versus Raw Survivor Series, because you're going to have these feuds on Raw that are just Raw feuds, and these feuds that are SmackDown, they're just SmackDown feuds that aren't going to go anywhere, that are going to be dead ends. Because the guy that's on the winning end of it is, on the team that's going to be SmackDown vs. Raw. So you're going to have Cesaro and Finn. They're going to have, like, this mini program. And I guess Finn will go on to be on the guy's SmackDown thing. And maybe Cesaro might sneak in with the tag shit. I don't know.
Which hasn't been confirmed yet. It hasn't been confirmed that we're having a five-team versus five-team tag match.
Hopefully
so far, the tag teams...
Yeah, they're just saying they're having tag team versus tag team.
Yeah.
So you're having the two-thirds of the Shield versus the Usos. But, you know, as they did on SmackDown...
Ideally, the bar could be part of the...
They could be part of the five-on-five, but we don't know. But, so you have this feud that, as far as the pay-per-view goes, and this pay-per-view, mind you, is a big four pay-per-view, as far as this pay-per-view goes, this has absolutely no fucking ramifications for the thing that you're building towards. Yeah. And if this was like a not big four, it'd be kind of forgivable. But this is a big four pay-per-view, so yeah. this should be unforgivable. And that's kind of the corner that you paint yourself into when you're going to do just Raw versus SmackDown. Because you're going to have we got to build up Finn, but we can't build up Finn against whoever his counterpart on SmackDown's going to be. So, let's just throw somebody else over here to fight Finn and put the shine on him.
If they were trying to build up Finn, they did a good job putting him back down by getting choked out on the fucking rail.
Okay, good point.
The match is over. Now, you know who they're really trying to build up? Kane. This is the most I've believed in Kane since he was a half-bald. You know, this is the most... Yeah, this is the most...
Somebody at this table knows about half-bald.
I ain't too far behind, but
yeah.
Yeah, dude, this is the most
luscious locks over here.
I've been interested in
Japanese shampoo commercial.
I'll lie. In singles competition, this is the most I've been interested in since he was Baldy at both. But this is the most I've been interested in Kane since Hell No.
Okay.
And I like that. Because it's like, when he first came out, what was her reaction?
Yeah.
Come on. But since then, it's like, all right.
Yeah.
Did a good job in the TLC. Beat the fuck out of Finn last week. Beat the fuck out of Finn again this week. Was good backstage with The Miz. Was good backstage with everybody.
Even then, Daniel Bryan.
He chokes on Daniel Bryan. We'll get to that. And beat up Rollins.
Yeah.
But like at the expense of the people who you want to see as future main eventers, it's kind of like, hey, you already got this 20-year guy. You're kind of like bolstering. I'm guessing. No, I'm not guessing. I know what they're doing. They're building Kane up. So that when Strowman goes over him, you're like, oh, wow, hey, he went up over. But that's good. That's quality fucking wrestling.
I mean, that's fucking booking 101. Yeah, you shine up the meal before you feed it to the guy that you really want to put over.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But as far as the match will be candidate for me.
Wait, which one?
Finn Balor versus Cesaro.
Oh, okay.
That match was entertaining.
It was good. I just want to see more of it.
Yeah.
That's my problem. I want to see more of it. I want this to be an actual legit feud, but it's going to dead end right at Survivor Series. So this is going to be like a one-off thing?
Yeah,
I mean, I hope not, but fuck, dude. I mean, are any
Bray White still has to somehow come back.
Are any of these mini feuds going to survive past Survivor Series? I hope so.
Some of these are seed planters for after.
Hopefully.
So we'll see.
We'll get to it now. Kane killing Daniel Bryan. He's been on the SmackDown brand for almost a year now, and not one person's been able to touch him. And then to build a Survivor Series pay-per-view, assumingly, Kane beat the shit out of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Dark. Yeah. First of all, he didn't agree with Shane doing his thing.
Right.
He let it be known that he didn't. Then he shows up to tell him, yo, I'm just here to let you know. I didn't know anything about it, and I'm just chilling. And your character was like, fuck you. But you know what? I'm going to keep you in here because you're safe here. Yeah. And Kane comes out because he has magical powers still and turns off the lights.
Can I do it?
And then...
Oh, damn. I thought he had lights in here.
Did you ever see like the one episode where we did the... and it didn't go? Oh, man. That's so classic. I saw it. I remember it. He just went...
just checking. This is the first time I looked all day, man. Give me some slap.
Yeah.
This was damn near leaning, trying to give me a kiss looking at the goddamn TV. I'm at least acknowledging you.
Yeah. I wasn't looking at the TV.
Oh, yeah? Then hit the trap lane.
So, yeah, we're led to believe that Daniel Bryan got chokeslammed through a table or something.
By his Hell No partner.
There's a lot here to unpack.
Yeah. It's unpacking for a trip I didn't want to go to.
Yes.
Because it's all...
Yeah.
But right now, from the beginning, you have SmackDown, let's just beat the shit out of everybody from Raw. And then, like, AJ Styles is beating up on the fucking club and all these people that you would, like, Jason Jordan is, like, getting his ass beat first by fucking... By Chad Gable. It's like, oh, man, you're not going to save that? Yeah. You're not going to, lube it up a little before you stick it in me, you know? Shit.
Yeah.
And now with this, Daniel Bryan knowing... As fans that have an attention span that remember 5 years ago, hell no. And you're going to just, like, no build. You're just going to let that go.
Yeah.
And you're not even going to, assuming that they don't capitalize on it. It's like, what the fuck?
See, from that standpoint, that's a complaint. You know, it's like, you just gave away physicality with Daniel Bryan. Like, holy shit, it's supposed to be... Daniel Bryan is not supposed to be touched or whatever. The guy got hit by a pitch.
Again?
Yeah.
That's like the
slick balls, bro. They've been slick balls all postseason.
So it's like, oh, man, you're going to give that away. But then on the other side of it, the complaint that I just had where if you're only building people on SmackDown and you're only building people on Raw to get to SmackDown versus Raw, it's not going to work. This is a good thing about it. We actually have crossover between Raw and SmackDown to build heat. Although the whole fucking premise of Survivor Series, top to bottom of the card, this is the only one fucking top to bottom of the card, the only one fucking segment where there's a crossover, where you're actually interacting and building it. From that standpoint only, it makes sense.
You're right and you're wrong.
Okay.
because there's been something happening on Twitter the last couple of days that when Travis showed me on Monday, I was like, oh man, I need to see that on there, on the show, okay, so everybody can see it, so there's context. Because right now, the match that I'm oddly looking forward to the most out of everything is The Miz versus fucking Baron Corbin because of the beef.
Yeah.
The Miz straight up going Samoa Joe. You better put respect on my wife's name, motherfucker. You talk about her again, I'm knocking teeth down your throat. Because Baron Corbin says something about, yeah, don't worry about coming to wrestle. Just stay in Hollywood and try on fancy clothes with your wife. Wow. Or something like that to that extent. And then, dude,
that went off on him.
Yeah, that's like old school, like War Games build, where it's the teams like literally mouthing off at each other, fucking the Four Horsemen talking trash. And then the Legion of Doom literally threatening to disembowel you in the ring in front of 45,000 people. That's the vibe that I'm getting out of all places and of all people. The Miz and Baron Corbin. Yeah. That's making me want to watch that match.
And that's Tweef. Yeah. That's not
on the telly. Yeah.
That needs to be on the telly. Yeah. But at least we've got one thing where it's on the telly. We've seen it, and that's the good aspect of the Kane thing. Now, like I said, there's a lot of stuff to unpack there. So those are two aspects. I want to bring up a different aspect from it.
Go.
The goddamn fucking campiness again. Like, you know, Daniel Bryan didn't take that fucking bump.
Of course.
Like, he, you know, you saw the choke, whatever, and then, like, oh, it was a dark room. So, but you really think that was D-Bry going through a table and making that sound? For all we know, that sound could have been piped in, or could have been somebody else just doing an elbow drop on a table. Like, it was fucking ridiculous how fucking cheesy that production was.
But we now are led to believe that he has taken a bump.
That's and the other that's thing the to other unpack. Part.
Don't tease me if you're not gonna please me.
Yeah.
You've been saying it for years. D-Bry can't wrestle because he's gonna go tut-tut for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you showed me on WWE television. Yeah. You've led me to believe on WWE television that he's taking a bump.
Kayfabe-wise, in story, he's taking a bump.
Better fucking put him in the ring.
Because if not, what's gonna happen here is the same shit that we always see with Stephanie against whoever, because you never get the fucking payoff. Yeah. If you still stubbornly continue and say, hey, D-Bry can't compete, D-Bry can't have any physicality, he just did some physicality, kayfabe-wise, so we're never going to get that receipt, he's never going to get that revenge. Why put heat in there if you're never going to get a payoff if he can't ever touch somebody? So is this them tipping their hand and say, oh, maybe he can, actually. So are you giving me false hope? Are you giving me real hope?
Does that them literally just writing him off because his contract is expiring soon, and that's the end?
Is it?
That's the last image of Daniel Bryan that we see.
It's not expiring soon, though. It is sort of. It's like by next summer. So, like, we just got Mania. So, we'll see how that goes. Kenny Omega's still coming around in January. So.
Did you see his costume as Aladdin?
Yes.
Oh, fuck, yes.
What else?
How about another episode of Southpaw Wrestling live in front of the Technicolor. Live on the Technicolor.
First of all, I got to give props to the announcers, man. They sold the shit out of that match.
Yeah.
They were like, oh my God. Like, they brought it. They, all of them brought it, especially Corey. Corey's just gold. Corey's still gold on the mic, man. And they're, it's like selling everything that they were doing. Like it was a legitimate thing. Rhino was with the Flash. That was so awesome. The Pumpkin. And yeah, instantly I was like, hey, it's Chad Too Bad and
Tex Ferguson.
Tex Ferguson. Oh my God. I love it because you remember how we said we got a little bit of a glimpse of Southpaw, but it was Keith and it was kind of like, I didn't like it, but you liked it.
It was a flat out squash. Yeah, like it was just, yeah.
Yeah. But this, I love it.
Well, and this also made sense because if you really are going to leave, Southpaw is like this weird thing that's not canon. It's not WWE real kayfabe. It makes sense for them to be doing this on Halloween.
Yeah,
they're just playing a character. They're just dressing up.
Yeah.
You know, so it makes sense. So the one time when I'm okay and with that aspect of it, like, all right, let's see some Southpaw shit in actual WWE, it makes sense because of it. Halloween.
I was just hoping they get a glimpse of Rhino and Seth as the Butchers. Chopping, baby! Cutting, baby!
Who was Rhino with, though?
Rhino was with
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, Rhino and Rollins.
Yeah.
Butchers.
I thought you meant Heath.
The Butchers?
Yeah.
Juan? One, two, three.
Hey.
What's up, buddy?
There's nice. A game going
you don't
on,
like buddy. Baseball, do you? That's all right. I've got the Dynamo.
Well, apparently he doesn't like SmackDown either because he said he hasn't watched SmackDown yet. So.
Hey, well, we had the excuse not to watch it
spoiler
yesterday.
Alert?
Yeah, spoiler
we'll
alert.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Probably won't take long.
One must to watch.
Women's title match. Is this it with Mickey and Alexa?
That should be the final
it?
Match of that.
Should.
Yeah, because they didn't give her any kind of like, oh, hey, maybe. No, they just, dude, she beat her with a bitch slap, basically.
Right.
So, you know.
But see, again, that's going back to, are you really going to build up for Alexa versus Nanny? Or are you still doing shit with Mickey and doing this and that and Alexa? Alexa hasn't spoken one word about Nanny to my knowledge yet.
This they have on they acknowledged what their shit on either SmackDown or Raw, their little beef. That's
and
it.
Even then, it's nothing like in your fucking face. Yeah. Hey, this should be, damn, these two really want to fight each other.
Well,
but
because, remember, we didn't get a siege this for sure because the Raw people were in London already by the time SmackDown started
right.
filming. Next week, you still don't
next week, they're both going to be in the same arena.
Oh, okay.
Monday night and Tuesday, they're going to be taping for Manchester. So we could see some payoff there.
Yeah,
and then
possibly. But, I mean, that's what kind of sucks about the leading up to Survivor Series, the booking for all this. It's something ain't working there, you know? And I think that's the biggest flaw that I see. And it's annoying me because top to bottom of the card, that means on both Raw and SmackDown, this is permeating through the entire show. So you're going to hear me bitch about it for a couple of weeks and for everything that we're watching on Raw and SmackDown this week. I'm going to keep harping on this and keep hitting the nail on the head because with every fucking storyline and every fucking character, it's the same thing.
But the payoff is going to be the prediction show if all this nonsense has made you want to watch the pay-per-view, especially if you're going to be there.
Yes, I am going to be there.
Any comments on the IC title match? Matt Hardy against The Miz?
Match the week candidate for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll
allow it.
I was very impressed by both of them. Matt Hardy, you know, you could tell he's lost some steps, but he still got it.
Yeah.
The Miz, in my opinion, has gotten better in the ring and can tell a story, like, you know, more. I still love that his style is a beautiful mix of different people's styles. You know what I mean?
Hardy's?
No, Miz. The Miz.
Oh.
He's kind of like a Shang Tsung. Like he takes people, the people that he feuds with, he kind of takes some of something they do with, you know, with him.
Seth, if you play Street Fighter instead of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, he's just like.
Is there a Tekken equivalent? Since you're the Tekken guy?
Mokujin.
Mokujin.
Mokoso. Yeah. So, like, I like their little, you know, thing going on. It was a back-and-forth match. It was like a, you know, a couple of moments. That moonsault? It was like a 55-year-old Matt Hardy did a moonsault? Like, whoa.
Oh, Jimmy Lake Matt Hardy.
That was awesome. It was good. And it was a solid win. It made Matt Hardy look pretty good. You know, he still got it. And it made The Miz look really good.
Let me ask a question. Is the iron too cold now to strike a broken Matt Hardy?
Yes.
No.
I think so because
defend yourselves.
Jeff Hardy's not there. Okay. You need that to be the kicker. You could tell that I think he's just
you need to have Brother Nero.
He's just treading water until he gets back. And that sucks.
Defend yourself.
You still haven't been watching enough of TNA to know that this Matt Hardy stuff was from the beginning by himself. You don't need Jeff for this.
Okay.
Not to mention, the plate is completely clear for Matt to indulge himself by himself. As a matter of fact, he can pull a Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and when he gets beaten so bad, he brings Brother Nero back to life from surgery. And that's how we can bring them in together. Just like in TNA, Matt Hardy was the heel, and Jeff Hardy was the face that eventually was overcome by the heel, and they worked together so well as a heel that everybody loved them, and they just gradually became faces. So whether you want to do it backwards and turn them heels or if you want to just follow that same blueprint, which I doubt WWE is going to follow anybody's fucking blueprint, people are still right now, what is it, a year removed, almost a year removed from TNA, and people are still, they know what this means.
Oh,
they're all
down,
in.
Down, not up, down.
Down.
Zeke High.
No. Middle.
Hail Hydra.
Middle.
But you get there. He still has a reaction for something that WWE has no ownership of.
Yeah.
So it's not cold yet. Not for me.
So let's say he gets his ass ransacked by Braun Strowman. And then on Raw, we come back from commercial and you start hearing the fucking 14th Overture or whatever on the fucking piano. And it's like, what the fuck is this? And out comes Broken Matt Hardy. Are you marking out?
Fuck yeah.
Are you marking out?
No.
Okay. I'm marking out.
Yeah.
I have a right to be wrong.
Exactly. I wouldn't mark out. I'd be intrigued.
Okay.
Because remember, I'm in the outside community where I still don't even know what the fuck a Broken Matt Hardy is.
He's a crazy motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I've seen him be interviewed by TMZ and like, what the fuck's going on?
Hear his first podcast with Jericho when he does it completely in broken character.
Oh, wow. I gotta hear that. Yeah. So, I mean, that's where I'm at with that.
Okay.
How about we end the Raw segment on a high note?
S-O-F-T.
Soft. Charmin soft.
Best part of that whole segment.
God damn it, Drew Gulak. Why do you have to be so goddamn entertaining?
He is, man.
Dude, he's entertaining. He's so good right now.
He's entertaining. He's another one of those where, like, I really wish the Cruiserweight division didn't exist. Because he would be good just to
imagine
sell.
His promos against The Miz for the IC title.
Yeah, he'd be good as not, you know, pigeonholed into a division. He'd be good just being him. Where the fuck did he come from?
Where did he come from?
Yeah, like, because, you know, these guys are all from all over the world. He was
probably from some place that doesn't have a Whataburger.
From where?
Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Yeah. No Whataburgers up there. Just a couple, 6 months in Texas, he won't be in the Cruiserweight division.
They have In-N-Out.
That's heartburn heaven right there. I still go for Fatburger. But, Gulak, man.
Porsche reminded me, Gulak as Sasha Banks is magnificent. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get that image out of my head. He dressed up as Sasha Banks for Halloween and did a thing on, like, the .com or something. Yeah.
Gulak?
Huh?
Who did?
Gulak.
Oh, sorry, Gulak. I was seeing the third.
Did he have the chesticles?
Well, no, but he definitely had the kibbles and bits down there in the little boy shorts that, there was too much. There was too much there.
Yeah.
Even Sasha called him out on it. It's like, I don't have all that. That's true.
Let's keep the fun rolling.
He looked like he was very excited to be in that outfit.
Let's keep the fun rolling. I didn't watch SmackDown because I was drinking.
Yeah.
Dollar Lone Stars at Neil's.
Watching the game.
Did Stranger Earth things happen?
Yes.
Yeah. Divulge.
It was pretty good.
The best thing is we didn't have 11.
No.
12?
No.
No.
10.
Oh, yes.
They're incorporating more people. I fucking love that.
God, yes, Ty Dillinger being 10.
Being 10.
Took the Uggos away from the Uggos. 11.
Yeah.
You know, because Ty was 11. Tyler was 11. Took away the Uggos. He's like, no, I'm 10. And then walks away. Yeah. Not the Eggos.
The
Uggos.
We had one of the Connor or Victor there, kind of standing there.
Yeah.
Then we also get Kane, but not Kane. It's the other Ascension guy.
It was Connor.
Chris is Kane.
Oh, no.
Victor's a little one. Connor's a big one.
The hair. Yeah. Oh, God. It was good. It was their
Eggo purse? Eggo carton purse?
No, they just had a carton of Uggos.
Oh.
Not Eggos.
Uggos.
They fucking, like... It was like the WWE production actually printed out custom box of Eggos, but just put Uggos on the side.
And it's blatant. It's the Bludgeon Brothers they keep talking about.
Yeah.
It's super blatant.
You know how in the first season of Stranger Things, they have the Christmas lights and whatever.
I've never seen the first season.
Oh, okay.
God.
Well, they had the pin
don't
board.
Don't talk trash to me. Catch up on Walking Dead, bitch.
They had the pin board of the different tag teams, and the lights went out. The Christmas lights circled around the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah. Okay. So then we get a Bludgeon Brothers promo later on.
Yeah, where they're just still
Bludgeon and Brothers.
Smash.
Yeah. So Bludgeon, I can't even say it. Bludgeon Brothers against the Fashion Police as a match, in or out?
As a match, yeah.
You're in?
I'm in.
As a match, yes. As a story, no.
Yes.
The story on the side of the Fashion Files doing their thing, that's awesome. But it leading to the Bludgeon Brothers being it, like, dude, that's too much of a contrast of concepts of what you guys are doing here.
And nobody wins.
I don't think it, yeah.
Nobody
wins.
It's not so much the concepts. We know that the Fashion Police is kind of doing, like, a parody of of entertainment.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make the Bludgeon Brothers look serious. Like
yeah.
they're really
that's exactly what I mean.
Really gonna come out and freaking like the chick from Scott Pilgrim just beat the shit out of you with the hammer.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, like that it just hearing it, it's funny what y'all described the episode as, but building up it's gonna be a little off-putting.
It's gonna be too much of a contrast. That's what yeah. I'm saying. Yeah. Like whoever it is that the fashion police figure out whoever did the whatever, they need to beat them.
Yes.
They don't need to go up against Bludgeon Brothers, which are these fucking monsters, and lose.
Yeah.
And then what's on the other side of that? Let's say the Bludgeon Brothers do lose.
You just what the fuck built, are you going on for?
You built these monsters, yeah. these guys that are going to kill everybody with hammers, and yeah. you turn them into innocent little kittens.
How about the
Bludgeon? Because they get beat up by the fashion police?
Come on. How about the Bludgeon Brothers kill Ascension, and then we get the fashion police and the Bludgeon Brothers together doing the episodes?
That'd be tight.
No, that wouldn't be tight because then you're ruining the Bludgeon Brothers. They're supposed to be a serious tag team.
What if they're not? Yeah, what if all this was
they might
what if this is
then you're gonna have three fucking silly teams? That's one too many. That's one too the Ascension.
No, we're killing them.
Yeah.
We have two.
Well,
he was a company.
Not kill. I mean you're gonna squash them. They're still gonna be around. They're probably still gonna be doing the vignettes with the I don't know. I mean, because you got those three, and then you have the Usos, they're serious.
And the Colons.
The Colons aren't around.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. They didn't get released.
There's yes!
They're all getting paychecks.
Yeah. And then you have Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable. So it's like you have two serious teams. Even Gable and Benjamin. Okay, let's move on to that. Gable and Benjamin, dude. Man, I don't know if I could get behind that whole, like, rapping gimmick that they're trying to use against the Usos, like it's not. I don't know. Like I get it, it's kind of funny. White guy rapping, like okay,
he's not
but
too bad.
He's not that bad, but
we said John Cena wouldn't work.
Here's the problem.
But he's doing it for the ha-has. Cena was doing it because I lived the life. I'm about it. You know,
Benjamin, as a cool guy that he is off the camera, on screen as a wrestling character. Has no personality. So if Gable is gonna be at least you knew Jordan had the personality, but in the story Gable had to draw it out of him. Benjamin has been doing so many weird different variations of his character for over a decade at least on WWE television. Not an ounce of charisma. He can wrestle like a fucking $1 million,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah.
He can make you spots on any ladder match.
Just has been the most charisma.
He's had the hot his career his it's not charisma, it's his appeal is what the fuck is he going to do with the ladder now? That's it. So Gable's going to shine like a star, but he's not going to have an atmosphere to shine in because Benjamin's going to just suck it up.
Yeah.
Shelton Benjamin being a meme was funny. Yes, that is true. Yeah. When he did the, and then ran away. Yes, thank you, Porsche. But she does say that, yeah, he's not that good in reference to Chad Gable.
Yeah. So the Team SmackDown's been built already so far. We got Shane as the captain.
Shane O'Mac, which I said I'm not going to complain about Shane being in a match.
Yeah.
And especially in a 505. Yeah. Like I said about protected. Kurt, yeah. he could be protected, get lost in the shuffle. Okay, cool. One, two.
Bobby Roode?
All right, whatever. That's just me.
Though we had a match to qualify Bobby Roode in. We had three matches to qualify Bobby Roode in. They cared that. They didn't care enough about the match, or where the second fall was during the commercial break.
That's true. The second fall did happen during the picture-in-picture commercial break.
Oh.
So I didn't see it.
Yeah, but they replayed it.
Yeah, yeah,
and they
yeah.
said, hey, during the commercial
yeah,
break.
Yeah. You know. Dude, they didn't. They failed to keep my attention. And that to me.
But isn't that just like a summary of their entire feud so far?
Yeah, and I don't. I hate to say this.
But you're gonna.
I don't hate to say this.
Speaking to the microphone.
That's not on Bobby Roode. his
you're new, talking to the wrong guy. You know that, right?
Yeah, his new toy. Smell or new car smell is still there, so it's still good. It's Dolph Ziggler. It's the fucking gym socks in the car that kind of is,
or the Astros hat in the car that I've been wearing for a week straight. Oh goddamn,
3 years straight.
So. Yeah,
I thought that was coming from the other end.
No, that's coming from this end. See,
but yeah, that was all. I don't want to say all, but mostly, in my opinion, it's
Zill.
It was Zill. Yeah, it was Ziggler, dude. Because it was like,
it was an all right match. I don't mind the 2 out of 3. I don't mind the fact that the second happened during the picture in picture because I watch usually the picture in picture. It was good. It wasn't like bad. Is matchably candidacy worthy, I'd say. Definitely not a pick. It's probably on the lower end of candidates, but yeah. What do you say?
The hell, I don't know. I'm just going off of you.
Oh, because you didn't watch SmackDown. Yeah. That's right. You're watching the game.
We have Randy Orton from last week who beat Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's boyfriend, Kevin Owens, lost to Nakamura Shinsuke.
Yeah. That was a decent match, especially towards the end. I keep saying that. The matches get better as they go. And that's how
they
should go.
That's kind of WWE style.
Yeah,
now.
That's how they should go. But, yeah, I mean, it was a decent match. But so far, the team is Shane, Randy Orton, Nakamura, and Bobby Roode. So they need one more person. They got like four more weeks.
That's going to be determined next week, right?
Is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, who's it going to be? Do you remember?
Rusev versus AJ.
That's right. Oh, Rusev versus AJ.
You gotta have AJ go.
It wrong. Guess again.
I want Rusev, but you gotta have AJ.
It wrong. Guess again. Rusev is winning this because number one, we need a heel on that motherfucker. At least one. There's already one. I'll get to that in a second. You need another heel on that team, so that's gonna be Rusev. Besides, AJ's attraction right now is gender.
They do need a heel because they're being the heels by sieging.
So AJ's going to find a way to finagle himself as the guest referee between Brock Lesnar and Jinder Mahal so that the twins don't get involved.
That is a bold prediction, sir.
Very bold.
That okay. Number one leads to AJ versus Jinder at their next pay-per-view. And number two, if your dick wasn't already wet at Money in the Bank with AJ and Nakamura tease, how about seeing AJ face-to-face with Brock Lesnar?
So you're saying Jinder is going to have Brock on the ropes and almost beat Brock, and AJ is going to cost Jinder?
Sure, he's going to hinder Jinder. I say AJ.
Who doesn't want Rusev Day on the team on Survivor Series team?
Hey, every day is Rusev Day.
And number two, I did watch some of the recaps on YouTube that WWE provided me. It was that little sexy stare that Orton's been giving Nakamura. Hey. Orton's turning on that motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it. I know exactly what you're talking about, where they show that he's growing his hair out now, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's going to happen.
That look flooded my basement.
Yeah. Because they tag teamed like 2-3 weeks in a row. Yeah,
not to mention Nakamura beat Orton to become number one contender.
Yeah.
So
they're still... He's proved, or at least character-wise, that he also has a long memory. Look how long he fucking waited to do the shit with Bray.
Yeah,
that was a fucking year-long thing. And him just hiding in the weeds.
And right now, you need an established heel on the roster. I think Orton's done the most that he can do as a face right now on the roster. Yeah. Right now,
and he wants to be a heel. He said it.
On SmackDown: a heel Randy Orton against Nakamura. A heel Randy Orton against Bobby Roode. A heel Randy Orton against AJ Styles.
Okay.
That's a whole year's worth of Randy Orton booking right there.
Fuck yeah.
I
give it to him. Give it to him. He's already being a heel on Twitter, fucking retweeting his anti-Black Lives Matter stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah. What about Rusev? Rusev versus Big E.
First of all, that was fun. The segment that started that
thing
was,
dude, Big E dressed up as Akeem the African Dream.
Big E was Akeem the African Dream. Xavier Woods was Jimmy Hart. And Kobe Kingston was Brother Love. And they were totally in character.
Yeah.
And then Rusev comes out and
straight. Kobe was in red face.
He was in red face.
He was just redded up.
Wait. Did Kofi tell Rusev,
I love you?
He did.
Yes.
Oh,
and Xavier had the microphone. It's like, hey, baby, you need to come in. Like, talking like fucking Jimmy Hart.
And you talk about Randy Orton having a long memory. I love long payoffs.
Okay.
You know what Rusev told him? He's like, aren't you elated? He used elated in the fucking, he used it wrong. I forgot how he used it, but he used it bad.
He did.
Oh, goddamn.
And I don't
know what that means.
I love how they were calling him, how they were calling Big E, Ekeem.
I actually didn't even notice that.
Yeah, they were on the commentary. They're calling E. King the African Dream.
Oh, god damn.
And he was doing the fucking jiving and strutting.
And honestly, it was a pretty goddamn good match.
It was.
It was a good.
It was fun.
Dude, I love Rusev so much. And him and Aiden English together are really, really good.
Yeah.
He needs Aiden English to do that. The fucking Rusev Day. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's good. That's why I think AJ wins and joins that match. And Rusev is tag team with Aiden English against New Day in like a pre-show.
I wouldn't put either one of those in a pre-show. I'm sorry.
But you can't have it on this fucking show because that's not Raw vs. SmackDown. Again, the booking leading up to the Raw vs. SmackDown aspect of the whole fucking show is hampering the other fucking shit that could organically happen.
The New Days are the pre-show stealers.
That's true.
So
Baron Corbin against Sin Cara.
Didn't watch it.
It was interesting, the fact that they're trying to actually do something with Sin Cara. And the thing that I was surprised the shit out of is that when Baron Corbin, being the good dick that he is, because goddamn he's good at being a dick, he tried to pull off Sin Cara's mask, right? Disrespectful, luchadors, don't ever do that.
Or the promo afterwards, Sin Cara cut a promo.
Well, not even the promo. I'm not even getting to that yet. The fact that pissed him the F off. Yeah. And he beat the shit out of Corbin.
You know, I actually do remember that
fucking,
now.
He laid him to waste to Corbin.
Yeah.
Like, where has this Sin Cara been this entire time?
He was fucking Simon Gotch. I agree, Jericho.
Yeah, like he just went ham on fucking Corbin.
Or Steve Austin on Debra?
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Damn.
God damn.
I am Guriel, right?
Yeah. Yes.
He did the dude, though. Oh, God. You're suspended for 5 games.
Yes. Next year.
Next year. Post-WrestleMania podcast.
Yeah. God damn it. But no, that was crazy that, like, he beat the living dog shit out of him.
What is it about the promo? I don't remember.
He just cut a promo after the fact. Like,
Master, just, like, you want to take away something from me? Yeah, basically. Like,
it was,
Dominic
it was good,
on the pole.
It was a good promo, but it was just him basically... There wasn't anything groundbreaking that was said. It was just like, hey, I'm pissed off. Yeah. He deserved what he got. You don't touch my mask. It took me, I think he said, it took me a long time to earn this mask, and I'm not going to let him take it away from me.
Says Unico, who's not even the original.
Exactly. Yeah, but whatever.
Would you be interested, you're aware of the tweet, would you be interested in The Miz fighting Sin Cara, champion versus champion at Survivor Series?
There's absolutely no build there. And if I ignore the tweef between Miz and Corbin, then there's still no build there. Like,
so you're indifferent either way.
I'm indifferent
because
either
of the
way,
build to
but
the
I want there to be build on the fucking telly, not on tweef, not Twitter beef. No, I want real fucking build.
How about that's it? Right? That's everything. That's SmackDown.
Oh wait, no. Yeah, the biggest thing that happened. Didn't happen in the ring.
Oh, here
Sammy
we go.
Sami Zayn had the best spot of the night.
Oh. Let it out.
He gets real mad. He pulls off the fucking top of the announce table. It hits, it bounces, it boom! It hits some dude in the face.
Hits some dude like in the second row, not even the first row.
Some dude like over another person.
Yeah. And that's what you get for being tall.
Yeah.
That's why I duck.
Yeah, that shit smacked him right in the face.
Got him right in the face.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah.
On SmackDown.
All right.
So this could have been the rest of the show because, you know, the game's going. But somebody wanted to talk about the Fatal 4-Way from 205 Live.
My match of the week pick.
Defend yourself, bitch.
God damn, that was fun. While the match with Gallows and Anderson dressing up like the, you know, the Southpaw regional wrestling guys, well, that was fun, and I thought that was going to be the best out of the Halloween-y shit. No, the match on 205 with the Halloween gimmick fucking stole the show.
Explain.
Please do.
All right, so there's pumpkins around the ring. All right, there's skulls. And, you know, all right. And I'm already like, ugh, it's going to be one of those matches. But what they did in the match is that they made it kind of feel more like a Chikara match or a PWG match where they have the fucking silliness, but it's not like silly hokey, campy WWE bullshit. We're just going to wind up throwing food at each other, and then that's it. But they were, like, utilizing the different weapons that are decorations, really, in different ways that I wasn't expecting. Like,
how so?
What's his name? The ab guy. What's his name?
Tony Nese.
He found a bag underneath the ring. Usually in a bag underneath the ring, there are tacks or glasses or something.
Was there candy?
Candy corn. Yeah. There's candy corn. He pours them out, and he's like, oh, what the hell? Candy corn. And so he went up
to... Did Kalisto sell it because Mexicans are allergic to that
shit? Well, what happened was he went up to the top rope to take the other guy off because he was going to slam somebody into what he thought was going to be taxed. And said he gets reversed and gets thrown through the candy corn. Oh, and then he's like, ah! So he was like, oh, this is going to be stupid. And then, oh, this actually fucking hurts.
Like
and,
Legos.
Yeah.
Candy corn
is a devil. Yeah. And then again, another one with Tony Nese. Mustafa Ali was in Tree of Woe in the corner. You know how Tony Nese has been doing that thing where he does the crunches but the kicks at the same time? This time, he got a bunch of pumpkins, and Mustafa Ali, Arya Daivari was handing him the pumpkins, and, like, instead of doing the kicks with the crunches, medicine balls, but he wasn't, like, right up against it where he could kick them. He was like about a foot away, and he
hitting him with it.
He would hurl the fucking pumpkin one after the other. So it was like one, give me another pumpkin. Two, and like he did it for like four or five fucking pumpkins.
Nice.
And then Mustafa Ali went up to the top rope, and you know there was these skulls or skeletons, right? He picked up one of the skeleton, and there happened to be earlier they found Grant. Another backup Grand Metalik mask. He's like, what the hell? But anyway, so he takes the mask with him, and he gets up to the top rope, and he sees the skeleton, and he just puts the mask on the skeleton. And Arya Daivari turns around, he throws the mask to Arya Daivari, he looks at it, he's like, the fuck? And then Grand Metalik, king of the ropes, jumps on the ropes and does the thing and flies and hit. And he hits him while he's holding the skeleton with the mask on him, and he was just, like, so confused. It was fucking crazy. But it was fun.
It was number one contender, right?
We don't even know who won.
I don't know. I think Mustafa won.
That was the good one.
I'm pretty sure
that was
Mustafa
the good
won.
One.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter who
I'm,
won.
I'm pretty we sure Mustafa won. Won. Yeah. We all won. It was just fun. I know why I said that the girls' battle royal on NXT was fun. Yeah. This was funner than that. This was the most fun match that I've had. And usually with those stupid gimmick holiday matches, Halloween, Christmas, whatever, fucking New Year's and
Thanksgiving,
4th of July and all that. I'm like, oh, goddamn, I hate these matches. That match, they took what are usually shit throwaway matches and they elevated it, and I appreciated that.
That's good.
So that's my match of the week pick. Do you guys have match of the week picks?
No.
Porsche says that she likes Rusev versus Big E.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have a pick, but
Vince Cesaro.
I told you the one that I really liked. Yeah.
Okay.
Vince Cesaro, Almas, Roderick Strong.
Okay.
Those are solid candidates, but none of them had me enough to be like, yeah.
Okay.
Pick match of the week.
I'm very optimistic of DIY 2.0 on NXT.
DIY 2.0.
Yeah, Tony Larkin and
All right.
Yeah,
that's got some gas.
Mm-hmm.
They took on the
Sabatelli and Moss.
Yes,
those are two guys that are also starting to gel. Like I'm starting to like to hate them.
I hope so too, because I like Tino because of Breaking Ground, the show. If you ever watch Breaking Ground, he was part of it. He's one of the billions of football players or wrestlers now.
Yeah.
So you know, we'll see how that goes.
The feud I want to see is Sabatelli and Moss against Street Profits.
Okay.
They have those same styles of attitude.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be good. The Tag Team division should be heating back up after Fall Brawl, which, if you have Facebook, like everybody else does, it's been ruined, the main event.
For weeks?
Yeah. But, like, I always been, like, not really paying attention.
Except now you care.
Except now I care because I'm going. And I was like, and I looked down, I was like, hey, yeah. You're straight up telling me before it even like gets even discussed on NXT TV.
Actually, I think tonight they announce it.
But even then, I saw it. I was like, oh, you're already telling me what the main event's gonna be, and they haven't even talked about it.
Yeah,
loved the tease at the end with the Undisputed Era handing him the armband,
and he
just takes it and thinks about it. Yeah. It's like,
does that feel a little bit too much? like this shit with Nexus, when the Nexus would try to recruit somebody and they hand them the armband and they're like, oh, what are we gonna do? And they cut. Did that feel too familiar for you?
What's been
regardless
years,
of my
no.
regardless of my attention span, I'm giving Undisputed Era a chance.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Dude, that's it for television.
Done? Yeah, we are done.
All right. Adios, my friends.
We won't.
We need to talk about some things real quick.
Okay, yes.
You and I.
A little bit of housekeeping.
I am going to be moshing. You're going to be straight chilling.
I'm going to be sitting.
We're going to be watching Thrice, Circus of Vibe, Ballast of Composure, and Chon.
Why aren't you going to be mushing?
Because he's an old man.
Baby. I'm too old, Mosh.
He's an old man.
What about you?
Actually, I might not be moshing either because I'll find out.
You're fucking 7 feet tall. You don't have to mosh. You just
work
up to the front.
Number one, I'm already going to be at the rails. Number two, I'll find out on Wednesday, the day of the show, if I win the contest. And if I do win, I'll be watching the show from the stage.
Oh,
nice. So while you and I are going to be rocking off, you are going to go back to some familiar territory.
Heading back down to La Cocina Studios. I should probably let Travis give Travis a reminder that it's this week because I asked him a couple of weeks ago. He said, sure. So if everything goes according to plan, it'll be Travis and I, the two originals, back in the saddle recording from La Cocina Studios. So, tune in next week. Same time. You know, so nothing changes on your end.
No.
Just on our end, we'll have a different background and it'll be at the old studio. That's if everything goes according to plan. So
wasn't there
hard subject to change.
Hey, don't steal our podcast idea. So hey, didn't you have DZW over the weekend?
Yes, we had DZW on the 28th. It was TV taping and it was pretty darn awesome. We have a new number one contender for the DZW Heavyweight Championship. It was Hambone. He won the gauntlet match.
Hambone.
So what is there?
The match is going to be ugly, but his mom sells fudge.
Right.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. So I'm not sure when we're going to be airing these particular set of tapings because our
schedule. He would have told us by now because he would have watched it like five times.
Yeah. The schedule has been crazy.
Side note, Abel had to leave like a little bit early from work on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I've worked with him for 6+ years. That's the most hardest I've ever seen Abel work to get work done. And boy, I was like, who is this new hire? I gotta go. He went in his personal car on one delivery just because he didn't get there faster. I still beat him to the fucking delivery.
He used to be an Uber driver.
What? That's why I made all the money. You drove fucking 10 miles an hour on the freeway.
I was safe.
Yeah.
But anyway, episode 4 and 5 came out this last week. You can watch that. You go now that you're pretty much done here. Yes. Still stay on YouTube and just search DZW Wrestling, and you could catch up on the qualifiers that led to that 6-man gauntlet match. That's good stuff. When the new episodes come out, I'm not sure. Because there's another set of tapings that we're behind on that. So now we have two tapings in the can that we need to dub everything and edit and put together before we can present it.
Make pretty.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So we've got to shine it up.
Turn it sideways.
Yeah. But yeah, that's that. This weekend is going to be a house show for DZW. So it's not TV taping. This Saturday, come on down to 1812 Avenue D. Come check it out. Oh, we're gonna have Silky defending the DZW heavyweight title against former Reality of Wrestling heavyweight champion, the mysterious Q. So yeah, Q making his debut at DZW.
Wow.
Yeah. So that
was Duper on.
Fuck, I forgot about Duper. Yeah, Doom's great, man. I'm glad that he's back in wrestling shape. He looked good.
He's back in wrestling. I remember one of the last memories I have of Super Duke. He busted his head to the white meat.
Yeah. Ooh, that was nasty.
Ooh.
That was.
That's on YouTube if you want to go fishing.
I think I've heard you talk about.
Yeah, he cracked his skull open and you could, well, not his skull, but his scalp, and you could see his skull.
I know from the.
Yeah, he tried to do like a tope suicida, but his feet caught the top of the ceiling.
No, and there's a projector there.
Oh,
his feet clipped the projector, so he didn't do the full rotation. He just went.
Oh,
like that.
Thanks, Chris.
The table got all bloody too.
Yeah, that's.
But yeah, that's what happened. That's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And now he's back, which is good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's not why he was out, because he wrestled after that for a while, but then still. He went to go do his bench lifting competitions, and he went to
do a lot.
Well, real life, yeah. I mean, he's a
powerlifter,
and he was doing some competitions with that, so he was getting in shape for that. Yeah. Then he took some time off, get some personal shit out the way, but now he's back, and it was great. It was great seeing him back in the ring. So cool. Yeah. So that's that.
That's it.
That's it. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
The Houston Astros are world champions for the first time in franchise history.
I've paid my dues, time after time. I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my share of vengeance in my face.